The Muskva River shimmered in moonlight. Jack McClure and Annika Bachuk stood on her balcony looking out at snow-covered Red Square. The onion domes gleamed in floodlit splendor. The French doors of Annika's second-floor apartment were thrown open despite the icy chill. Somewhere beyond Moscow, the stars were out. A crescent moon rode high overhead. The night sounds of the city were drowned out by Annika's laptop in split-screen mode, tuned in to both CNN and Al Jazeera. Competing talking heads, one in English, the other in Arabic, were proclaiming the continued rise and spread of what had quickly been dubbed the Arab Spring, started when the corrupt Mubarak regime in Egypt was ousted by a coalition made up of shopkeepers, teachers, students, doctors, mechanics, bus and taxi drivers, and housewives. Everyone, in fact, clamoring, it seemed, for an end to dictatorship and a start to democracy. "It won't last. A new beginning indeed," Annika scoffed as she went inside to stare at her laptop screen. "It all sounds so rosy now. Everyone, Christian and Muslim, getting along, but it won't last." "How cynical you are." "No," she shook her head, "merely realistic. Every regime in the Middle East is corrupt. It's simply a matter of degree." Jack tried to get her back outside, but she was too wrapped in her feelings. She pointed. "Look at them. No one knows what they're talking about. Now that the Muslim Brotherhood has won the election, how long do you think it will take until the army starts muscling in, trying to regain the traditional power it's lost? The Brotherhood knows what I know. Those other factions could never get along. They'll continue to fight and tear each other apart. The Brotherhood was quick to move into the power vacuum." She turned to look at Jack. "I despised Mubarak, but one thing you could say in his favor, he kept the Brotherhood from insinuating themselves into the fabric of Egypt's government."
"The price was high," Jack said. "Instead of the Brotherhood, the Egyptian military insinuated itself into the fabric of not only Egypt's government, but its economy as well."
"There's no good answer here," Annika shook her head. "When it comes to the Middle East, there never will be. Mark my words, a feeding frenzy for power is going to erupt not only in Egypt, but throughout the Middle East."
Jack closed the browser and shut down the computer. "That's enough of feeling helpless for tonight."
Annika smiled, first slyly, then more broadly. "Who says I feel helpless?"
As he slid his arms around her waist, she said,
"There is no good answer, you know." He kissed her.
"That's why," he kissed her again, "we're tabling this discussion, and again,
for the rest of the night. There is an answer, you know," she murmured into his mouth, "but it isn't good." A high-low siren wailed like a muezzin, approaching along the embankment before slowly fading away. They heard the hiss of car tires on the road below, and once, the sharp, demented shout of a drunk terrified of the demons in his head. Jack backed her up against the wall. The prints on both sides of them trembled, then rattled. He kissed her hard, and she responded in kind. One of her legs drew up, her bare calf running up the outside of his leg. He rocked her like the sea.
"You should not even be here."
When she spoke, her scent wafted over him. Cloves and orange and a peculiar spice all her own.
"You should be with your American friends."
Her lips parted and her tongue flicked out.
"With your American boss."
"And yet I'm here with you."
"Why? Why are you with me?"
The tip of her tongue traced the outer whorls of his ear.
"I am a Russian and a murderer." we are all murderers. His voice was thick with desire. Her palms pressed against his shoulders as he pinned her to the wall. You know that's not true, but it is. For us, killing is as much a part of life as eating or breathing. Or making love. Hips insinuating themselves. No, making love is entirely different. How? Her lips slid down the side of his neck. How is it different, tell me? When we're together, making love, we're different. We're better people. Only for a time, the space of a breath. She took his hands, placed them on her buttocks. Or a sigh. She sighed deeply, an ecstatic explosive. Even that is enough. He pulled the fullness of her hips into him. My fear is that we will become like those before us, living in the shadows, at the edges of society, gives us certain privileges, privileges that feed our egos, inflate them, until we believe that we are beyond the law. She unbuckled his belt. But darling, we are beyond the law. He unbuttoned her Shantung silk blouse. Humans, unconstrained, are prone to develop criminal tendencies. Her fingertips traced a line from just below his navel down to his groin. Those tendencies were there all the time.